When I got out of school, I went to work at a Hughes Aircraft Company and was working on satellite communications for about 6 years. And the vast majority of it was, not the vast majority, I would say probably two-thirds was analog voice transmission over satellite. Maybe the other one-third was the development of new digital modulation formats or receiver design for digital communications through satellites. I left Hughes in 74. I taught at RPI for 2 years, and I joined UCSB in 76, and I've been there ever since. And towards the latter couple of years at Hughes, I got into an area called short spectrum communications. Short spectrum had been around for, at this point, easily 5 decades. And it was, and up until roughly a decade ago, it was primarily the domain of the military. Because what short spectrum does, going back to your bandwidth issue, in short spectrum, you basically impose a very high rate spreading sequence on top of the information. So you transmit the information at a bandwidth much wider than what the information itself would demand. But in turn, what you get is a robustness to interference. Not the thermal noise, which is what primarily error correction coding was designed to fight, but interference. So the military had tremendous interest in such spectrum for anti-jam communication. It also tends to hide your signal in the noise. In other words, you're transmitting a given amount of energy in a much wider bandwidth, so the power spectral density is correspondingly lowered to the same transmit power. So if you're trying to hide the presence of your signal from an unintended receiver, as you certainly want to do in a military context, this is called low probability detection or low probability of intercept. Spread spectrum is an obvious choice of a signaling format. So my last few years at Hughes, I got involved in that. And when I left Hughes, I just sort of stayed in that general area. So that, while in the broadest sense, my research area is digital communication theory, the vast majority of my work is in spread spectrum communications. And these days, and this has been true now for, again, for about the past 10 years, it's in what's called co-division multiple access. Again, CDMA has been around for decades. It was used not simply by the military, but also by the commercial and government sector. For example, one program I worked on at Hughes, NASA was very interested in it. The situation was the following. There was a geosynchronous satellite, which NASA called the TDRS, Tracking Data Relay Satellite. And then what it did is it communicated with a bunch of low-altitude satellites. And so what happened is that, of course, the geosynchronous satellite is stationary, pair stationary to a single point on the Earth. The low-altitude satellites are constantly moving. So anytime a low-altitude satellite was in range of what's called this TDRS, it would transmit to the TDRS of data it was collecting from the Earth. Problem is, it was using more or less omnidirectional antennas. And so some of the energy that it was transmitting directly to the TDRS was bouncing off the Earth and back up to the satellite. So this created multipath. Well, one of the key virtues of certain types of spread spectrum signal design, called direct sequence spread spectrum, is you can resolve individual multipaths and constructively use them. It's a technique to make a signal, again, let me just use the word robust, to multipath fading. And so for that reason, that is to say, a combination of combating multipath, plus having it wasn't so much users in this case, but many, let's just say, sensors, being able to transmit simultaneously to this TDRS, maybe many low-altitude satellites. So you had a multiple-axis environment, because you had multiple transmitters over the same channel. Okay, you had this multipath problem, call it interference, which you wanted to design your waveform to be robust against. So they chose CDMA as their modulation format.